continuing at mile 1.5, the Tooele Valley Overlook Trail, look to the left of you and you see an interesting feature. You might have thought that was a shoreline, but it doesn't look like a shoreline in a lagoon. It looks man-made, and it looks as if it's been breached. Now, it very well may have been at the level of one of the Bonneville shorelines, such as the Provo level, but that was used to catch materials that were part of the mining, milling, tailings, etc., capturing. It may have even been associated with some of the reclamation here, but notice it's been breached. So there's another surface. There was a pond, or at least a facility here that could catch drainage, but it has been breached. And notice that we now have a very good view of the Pine Canyon drainage that's coming through here. So surfaces everywhere. We see the channel of Pine Creek. We see a magnificent alluvial fan straight ahead of us. And you say, what does it look like? It's the grassy surface that today we actually have the oaks turning color, the scrub oaks turning color. So we have that sort of auburn, russet color trees, and above that we have the grassy surface, and beyond that we actually have a repeated surface that's almost at the same angle. Now don't worry if you don't see what I see, because I see surfaces, but let your eyes see patterns. Let the vegetation be your guide, and know that the biggest pattern you see is bedrock versus sediment, and that's in the background there, and I hope you see the bedrock. And then in the mid-ground, we have these surfaces that are sort of down to the north, but they parallel each other. There's more than one surface. And then we have the road surface that we're on. And we're still on the recently paved material as we go through here. Look to the right and notice the materials that this terrace or this alluvial fan is made of. Notice how angular the pieces are. Notice that there's some fine material in them. Notice there's some coarse material in them. We're going to cross one of the drainages that comes across this fan. And notice how messed up it is. Notice that there's kind of a dam to the right of us. Notice that there are these big kind of bouldery kinds of things. They don't look natural at all, do they? They just look kind of out of place. You say, I wonder if those were used to stabilize this so that bad things didn't happen, or could they possibly have been natural? I'm skeptical about them being natural. Notice the Tooele Gun Club that is off to the left of us. They like to have a relatively horizontal or gently sloping surface to be firing from. Then notice to the right, as we're passing signs that say 2.25, notice that this is very lumpy to the right of us. And I think that much of this is very, very disturbed by having been the smelter, refining, everything associated with the milling. And I'll be talking about the processes in a bit. But you can look up Canyon. And we're now on the, they'll be paving it soon, I'm sure, the 2.4 mile marker for the Tooele Valley Overlook Trail. So by now, we're way above the level of Lake Bonneville. And by way above, I mean a couple hundred feet. And you say, how do you tell? Well, my GPS unit tells me, and at 5,400 feet, you just can't have Bonneville level stuff. And I am admiring the various surfaces of the road. The road has potholes. The road has previously patched potholes. You could hide a Volkswagen in one of the one that's coming up here, so be careful. So you can think about the road as a human laid down surface that in turn has gotten cracked up by weathering and erosion. So we've talked about the surfaces associated with shorelines, and we've talked about the surfaces associated with fault lines, but don't forget the one that's everywhere, which is the surface that's being eroded or deposited on today. And you can imagine that those were there in the past. So I'm going to go back into the bedrock, where you haven't quite gotten to the slag yet. So the slag's the black stuff. Look beyond into the ochres and give yourself permission to be confused. There's at least two dominant rock types there. There's actually a third that you can't really see. But the two that I see are the pale ones that were dominantly sandstones and to some extent quartzites, meaning that they, under pressure, had started to change. And then at the very crest of the mountain, I think that's Margant, something close like that, mountain, you can see a draping one of gray. Different rocks under compressional tectonics respond differently. And the ones that are loaded with quartz and quartzites, they fracture and they sometimes override each other and they look very, very messy compared to the limestones that are the gray ones that tend to be a lot easier and gentler in their, bends. So the takeaway message here is those layers were once horizontal a long time ago. Seas coming in, seas coming out. Where there were beaches, there were sandstones that became quartzites. Where there were muddy zones, ooze, they became limestones. And then they got buried and buried and buried and buried. And much later, meaning millions of years later, they were caught up in the, it wasn't the bottom of the mountains, but it was several, it was maybe 10 to 12 miles underground from the mountaintop surface. It looked very much like the Amazon-Andes relationship. Amazon in Carbon County, Andes here across Tooele. And in that compressional tectonics, way underground, they got bent. And then more recently, they've been exhumed by the basin and range faulting and quote-unquote mountain building. But isn't it interesting how you can build a mountain by just dropping the two sides? So at this point, we're going past keep-out signs, unstable surface of the slag piles. And I want you to be looking on the far side of them. I want you to see how you're looking into the surface of one of these enormous terraces formed by the alluvial fans. And can you see the layering within it? And to the right of you and on the south, what a mess. But on top there was probably many things associated with the refinery, and we have the reclamation here as well. We're not to the gate yet, but when you get to the gate, just be careful. You know, leave enough room for someone to turn around ahead of you. And what we're going to do is we're going to turn around and we're going to go back to where we were. Well, not the whole way. We're only going to go back less than a mile. So what do I want you to be seeing here? I want you to look up canyon and see breaks in slope. I want your bright eyes to try to see patterns. Can your bright eyes, this is subtle stuff, actually distinguish between the bedrock versus the sediment in terms of, I want 5 feet. It isn't going to count as sediment unless there's at least 5 feet. I do it by break and slope, but also vegetation. I want you to look way up canyon, and today I can see a magnificent scar up there. And that scar is in brown above and gray below. That is a ground failure of the 1980s with a very sad story. There's actually mining operations there. They deposited some of the debris from the mining in that canyon. A bulldoze operator in the 1980s was redoing that material, pushing it around. The slope failed and the person was killed. So we're turning around at the gate. And I'll stop talking for the moment and just follow us to where we stop, and we'll try to put it all together again.